Well, all right. Well, good evening. Good to see y'all here in the sanctuary and anybody that's online. We're going to start out by singing Friend of God. Stand if you can. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us your friend. forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned, I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing love. My King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. All I do, I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. Amen. I missed coming in the first bit. Praise the Lord. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress. and grief my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, thy wing shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Amen.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Amen. Praise the Lord. And please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Okay. Oh, man. Up of the stairs. Well, good to see each and every one of you tonight, and those of you with us online, good to have you with us. Oh, my soul, let's see here, got a pen? Yeah, I got that. All right, do we have any praises or testimonies tonight? Praises or testimonies? Praises. Yes, sir. Okay, man. A blessing for her. She had struggled with the stage 4 cancer for a long time. Had it been years?
Yeah.
Okay. I see. Okay. So Angie, and where did she live? Okay. She was saved. Right? Say, yeah, amen. Amen. So she got that ultimate healing. Yeah, no more cancer. Amen, amen. Other praises, testimonies. That's a good one. Thank you, brother, for the update. Yes, ma'am. Johnny Hyman, man, walking. That's amazing. Two and a half months. Praise the Lord. Amen. Johnny Hyman, moving on. Up onward and upward, Johnny. Praise the Lord. All right, other praises, testimonies. Anybody else? All right. Any encouraging words? Passages of scripture you would like to share? Yes, ma'am. Oh, amen. That's good. Yeah. Good word. Colossians 4:6. Was that part of y'all's ladies' Bible study this morning? Yeah. Amen. That's a good verse. Colossians 4:6. Anybody else got a word? God is good? Amen. Amen. All the time God is good, and God is good all the time. Amen. Yes. Yes. Amen. It's a good passage. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else tonight? Anything online coming up? Okay.
Oh, okay. Praying
Prayers for Ronnie Holman. All right, we'll get that on the prayer list. Ronnie Holman. All right, Ronnie Holman. Amen, amen. Very good. Prayer needs. Anybody else got any prayer needs? Yes, ma'am.
My co-worker's
sister. Yeah. Jessica. Yeah.
Maxed
out as far as it can go. They got her on the O2 helmet. Yeah. Right. All have
it.
Sure. So one of Stephanie's co-workers' sister, Jessica. I've never heard that name. Always heard Jessica, never heard Jessica. I was a double take. I was like, are you sure it's Jessica? Yes, I'm sure. You know, that sounds like Jessica to me. No, it's Jessica. Well, this lady's 45 years old with COVID. How long has she had it? Do they know? Couple of weeks. Okay. So she's having a tough time with COVID. So we want to pray for her tonight. Pray God would heal her. He's done that for us. Amen. And made it out. Okay. All right. Amen. All right. So we'll pray for Jessica tonight. COVID. What else? Yes, sir, in the back.
Lori and her brother Luke both need a vehicle. Pray that he can get the vehicle to God.
All right. Lori and Luke need vehicles. You got it, man. We'll pray for that need. All right, over here. Yes, sir, John. Amen. That's right. Amen for that, brother. Yes, ma'am. Okay. It does. Well, maybe this is the issue. Praise the Lord. So what percentage was her gallbladder functioning at?
40%.
Oh, yeah, it's got to go. Praise the Lord. All right, man. Praise the Lord the test revealed that we're going to get some help here. All right. Amen. Tiffany's gallbladder. Yeah. Well, is he the one that finally ordered the HIDA scan? Yeah, that's the gold standard on whether the gallbladder needs to go or not. That's great. It's an expensive test, but boy, it is the gold standard whether that thing needs to come out or not. All right. Outstanding. What else? What else? Anything else? No, I did not hear that. Charles Goodson. Now they're up in Palace. Okay, moved in with, okay. Charles Goodson. How old would he be, Sissy? Got to be in his 80s. Yeah, Charles Goodson. On hospice. He pastored for how long? 50 years? A long time. Pray for that, brother. Do you know what the congestive heart failure or? Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Brain bleed. Okay. All right, Brother Charles. 50+ years. Praying for you. Amen, amen. All right. Any other prayer needs? unspoken is okay. Well, man, we had praise those watching online, for those of you here tonight. We had a great trunk or treats. Amen. Wasn't that awesome? Yeah. Let's give the Lord a hand. That was a good time, man. I tell you what, candy lasted 2 hours. A lot of people came through. School got exposure. Kids got invited to Awana's. I tried to get Debbie Thornton a stray cat, and in the process, just about blew my knee up. And so I will never get back on the ground again to talk to a stray cat. I'm done talking to stray cats under cars. If they're underneath cars, I'm not going to get down there and talk to them. I spent about a minute talking to this cat and got up and then came back from the Sonic parking lot, and I was talking to Debbie and Loopy and her husband and some you and your husband, Marjorie, buddy, and my knee went out. I mean, it just went out. I hadn't had pain like that in a long, long time. I had to hobble over and sit down. And it's just now starting to feel some better, but osteoarthritis is an awful thing. And being down on your knees is not good for it. So, yeah, that's right. Amen, man. That's right. That's right. But, man, I'm telling you, Trunk or Treats was awesome. That was a lot of fun. Yes, sir. Oh, he's got shingles. I got a vaccine for that. Yeah. Yeah. Cindy. Oh, okay. Gary Snyder's got the shingles. Okay. Boy, that can be, man, how many of you have had that? Yeah, I've had a little touch of it. It hurts worse after it's over than it does while you're going through it. The weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's all healed up, and you think you're dying. It's that ghost pain. They call it that ghost nerve pain. I went and got the two vaccines. Did you get your vaccine? Yeah, I got two of them. Yeah, I got two of those shots. But, hey, that the reason insurance pays for that shot, if those shingles get up into your ear or your eye, if it gets in your ear, it can reach your brain, and it's over. And if it gets in your eye, you some people, they lose their sight. I mean, it's a horrific virus. It's chicken pox. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll lift these things up tonight. Y'all ready to pray? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank y'all for donating candy and bringing your vehicles and decorating and just being the church to the community. It was an awesome, awesome thing to behold. Mom and Sharon, what's going on with Mom? Sick? Okay, sick. And Sharon, foot surgery? Still don't have a date. Okay. Well, you never know, man. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. Maybe they'll type it in. We'll know here in a minute. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for these praises and testimonies, Lord. We are blessed to hear that Angie is not suffering any longer tonight, Lord, with this cancer, and that she has gone on to be with you, Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with Christ for a saved person. So we praise you tonight for your grace and your mercy and Angie's salvation, Lord. We praise you tonight that you've received her unto yourself, and she's in no more pain, discomfort, no more suffering, Lord. We just are thankful that she has finished her race. She's run it well. She's finished it strong. And God, she's in your presence now. So we just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for how you have seen Miss Angie, your daughter, how you have seen her through and brought her home. We praise you and thank you for that tonight. Lord, we're thankful that we can meet tonight. And Lord, we're thankful that we have a dry place. We have it feels great in here, the temperature. And so, Lord, we're thankful for a place and in a stump to get to lead Bible study from. And Lord, we're thankful for your word tonight. Lord, we praise you tonight for Johnny Hyman and his being able to get up out of that wheelchair and do some walking after 2.5 months, Lord, of being laid up with COVID. We're thankful that you're healing him and he's getting stronger day by day. And Lord, we just continue to pray for his healing, Lord, as he goes forward from this point. We just pray his appetite would increase and his body would just absorb the nutrients, God, and his muscles would just start to fire and come back online. And Lord, he'd get some mass back to his body and put on some weight. And Lord, here in another 30, 60 days, he'd be up out of there and back at the house. We just give you the praise and glory for his healing. Lord, we continue to pray for Ronnie Holman tonight. We lift him up to you. We pray your healing hand upon his cancer, Lord, and his issues. We pray for Nancy. And Lord, we pray that you just be with them as they go through this together. We pray that you would protect them and watch over them, help them as they go to all the different appointments and see all the different doctors for this condition that Ronnie has and this cancer. And Lord, we pray that you would heal him and see him through this. We lift up Stephanie's co-worker's sister by the name of Jessica with a Y, Lord, 45 years old with a COVID in the hospital. Lord, impending, just about to go on a ventilator, Lord, we're praying tonight that she would not have to experience the ventilator, Lord. We're praying that you would touch her body, you would touch her lungs in such a way that they would begin to absorb the oxygen that's being pumped into her by this O2 helmet that she's wearing. And Lord, she would not have to go on that ventilator, Lord. We just pray that that would not be something for her, that you would just bring healing to her and see her through. We pray for her husband and her kids as they get over the COVID. And Lord, we're just praying that Jessica would not have to spend months, would not have to spend even weeks, God, that you would just touch that body, bring healing to her lungs, and Lord, allow her to get on up and down the road with this healing process. Lord, we lift up Lori and Luke to you tonight and their need for transportation and vehicles. We pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment, Lord, on how best what to get and how to get it, and Lord, what all that looks like and entails. We just pray you lead, guide, and direct them to their next vehicles to drive. Lord, we lift up Tiffany to you tonight. We pray for this impending gallbladder surgery. Lord, we're praying that they'll be able to do it laparoscopically. They won't have to cut her open too much. And Lord, we pray that this gallbladder out would bring healing to this young lady's body and allow her food to do what it needs to do, give her energy and sustenance and all of those things. And we're thankful for this test, this HIDA scan, that finally revealed that this old gallbladder needs to come out. So Lord, we praise you for that. That's a praise. And then we just pray for this upcoming procedure that she's going to have to take the gallbladder out. We lift our brother Charles Goodson to you tonight, Lord. We're thankful for him and his wife and their many years of service to the church. And Lord, we just praise you for his salvation and his call to the ministry. And Lord, we pray you bring comfort and peace to brother Charles and his wife, Lord, as he's on the hospice and suffering from a brain bleed, Lord. We just pray that you might ease him into eternity with no pain. Lord, no suffering, God. You would just he would just go to sleep and wake up in the arms of Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for Brother Charles. We thank you for his wife. And, Lord, we pray that you help her as she goes through this time of transition. Lord, we know that hospice is a good thing, taking great care of Brother Charles in that situation. And, Lord, we're thankful for them as they minister to Brother Charles at this time of his life. Lord, we lift up the unspokens to you tonight. We pray that, Lord, you would have your way in those. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can pray those silently to you tonight as we go through this prayer time. We love you tonight, Lord. We love you that you're sovereign and that you're in control. And that, Lord, in you we are more than conquerors. We are victorious. And, Lord, we on the winning team. But, Lord, we've got these unspokens and some of these things are nagging, and some of these things we deal with in our minds, and we deal with when we get ready to go to bed, and we deal with when we get ready to get up in the morning. And Lord, I just pray you give us a peace that passes all understanding. Allow us to keep these things laid down at the foot of the cross, trusting and believing, Lord, that you're going to handle these in your timing. And Lord, we just thank you in advance for how you're going to work these things out. Lord, how you're going to bless, how you're going to bring things together, and all those things that these unspokens represent. But Lord, we lift them up to you another week. We lift them up to you another Wednesday night. And Brother Gary, Lord, down the road down there at Bethel, we lift him up with the shingles. Father God, we pray that he would not have a severe case of these shingles, Lord. We pray that as these things begin to scab over and heal up, that this ghost pain would be minimal. Father God, I pray he would not play around with the pain, that he would see the doc and get the right medication to see him through all of that. And Lord, we just pray that he heals up to the point, if he's not had the vaccine, he heals up to the point, Lord, where he can take it if he so desires to take it. And then, Lord, we lift up Miss Vicky to you tonight. She's not feeling well. We pray you touch her body, bring healing to her. And then, Lord, we pray for Sharon's foot, this foot injured in the car wreck, still waiting for this thing to finish up healing. Lord, we pray you just touch that foot and bring it back together in your time so she can have this much-needed foot surgery to reset bones and, Lord, just to get everything back straight and get everything on the path to ultimate and complete healing from this car wreck. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. We praise you for it, your message to us here in the book of Revelation. And Lord, as we spend some time to study it and look at it, Lord, we pray that it would be a blessing to us as we fill in some of the blanks of our eschatology. And Lord, how that just helps us with the rest of our theology about the Bible. And Lord, just have a better sense of who you are, what you're doing in this world. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that we're saved, and we're thankful tonight that we're heaven bound. And Lord, as we go through this stuff tonight, there may be somebody that we know that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father God, I pray you'd use us. You would use us as a witness. You would use our attitudes and our speech and our behavior. And Lord, everything about us, Lord, would just be something to point them towards you. Lord, I pray that we'd be so bold that we might share our faith with them or plant a seed of salvation or invite them to church or invite them to some event, maybe the Thanksgiving fellowship that we're going to have here in a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. That'd be a great time to bring somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we praise you tonight. We thank you tonight. Thank you for this time that we can meet and study your word. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, if you take a copy of God's word, we're in Revelation chapter 15. We'll go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's the shortest chapter in the book of Revelation, just 8 verses. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Revelation chapter 15. Those of you with us online, we're in Revelation chapter 15. We're beginning here in verse 1. We seek to introduce the passage tonight. We'll get into more of the meat of it when we meet on Sunday night, if the Lord tarries and hasn't raptured us home by then. But Revelation chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, if you found it this evening, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, "Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels who had 7 plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And the 7 angels who had the 7 plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen, clean and bright, and girded around their chest with golden sashes. Then one of the 4 living creatures gave to the 7 angels 7 golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were finished." All right. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, these are the preliminaries to the final judgments, right? And you know what preliminaries are. If you've ever watched a track meet or ever watched a bicycle race or, I don't know, speed skating or whatever it may be, I mean, they have, you know, groups of people racing against one another, and the top two of the preliminary heats go on to the final round. And then when you get to the final, you've got all of these people that have come out of these heats, and then they race for the gold, the silver, and the bronze, or the first, the second, and the third, or whatever it may be. Well, here we are, man, the preliminaries to the final judgments. When we think about life, as we introduce this passage, there's plenty to be afraid of. The world has been gripped with fear since the end of 2019 with this COVID-19 pandemic. Those that worship the environment are fearful of global warming. Global warming. I'm trying to think what part of the world they're in. Glasgow, Scotland. Yeah, I think that's where they're at. Having a big summit about all the global warming and the emissions and how to get the methane down and all of that stuff. Those that worship wildlife are fearful of their favorite animal becoming extinct. If you like wild hogs, they're not going extinct anytime. And if you like deer, there's plenty of them around here. But if you live in California, you're afraid of earthquakes and wildfires. Whereas if you live in Southeast Texas, you're afraid of hurricanes, you're afraid of heat waves and hailstones, because we've had quite a bit of that since we've been here for 8 years. We've had, I think, three hailstorms that we've lived through, and we've never lived through three hailstorms before. If you're a Republican, you're fearful that the Democrats will hold the House and the Senate in the midterms about a year from now. If you're a senior adult, you may be afraid of dying. If you're a median adult, you may probably be afraid of crushing debt. If you are a kid, you are probably afraid you will not be popular enough. If you are a retailer of any kind, you're probably fearful that big Christmas profits for you this year are not going to happen because of the supply chain issues and the nationwide shortage of truck drivers. And friend, I could go on and on and on. If you drive anything, you're probably fearful that gas is going to hit $4 a gallon again. But when we think about the unrepentant sinner, what is truly frightening about their future is not any of those things that we just kind of tongue-in-cheek mentioned to you. What should stop the heart of sinners is what God will do to them if they continue to not repent of their sins and obey His command to receive His gospel and be saved. God's judgmental anger, not Pastor Steve's judgmental anger, God's judgmental anger and fury is a terrifying reality that looms just over the horizon of human history. We are living in a time when the church could be raptured any day now. I mean, literally any day. And because people willfully ignore that reality, people do not fear what they should fear. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, as we have read these first 8 verses, or the chapter 15, all of it in its entirety, as we seek to dive into this thing, we want to give what I would consider an appropriate review of God's wrath. Because, I mean, this is the final wrath that chapter 15 is trying to introduce for us that we're going to see in chapter 16. An appropriate review of God's wrath. God's wrath has been poured out in judgment on sinners over and over throughout human history. Now, I'll give you some examples as we kind of go through it. Adam and Eve's sin in Eden brought the entire human race under judgment. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 reads this: "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." Does that make sense? Now, when we think about that, the question is this: was there grace in the midst of that judgment? And the answer is yes. Blood was shed so that Adam and Eve could be clothed and their shame of being naked be covered. Now, in the time of Noah, people had become so wicked that God sent the overwhelming judgment of the flood to destroy the world. Pastor, do you believe that was a worldwide event, that God literally drowned every living, breathing thing on the earth except for Noah and his family? I do believe that. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Again, was there grace in the midst of that judgment? Yes, Noah and those with him on the ark were spared, praise the Lord. Amen? Who let the mosquitoes on? I don't know, right? Centuries of disobedience by the Jewish people ultimately led to their judgment, as first the northern kingdom of Israel and then the southern kingdom of Judah were both taken into captivity. And again, we pose the question, and yes, there was grace in the midst of those judgments. We read the history of the Jewish people. What do we find? Yeah, they were taken into captivity because of their sin, because of their disobedience, because of their failure to repent. But they finally came around to seeing things God's way. And what did they do? They got broken and they repented and they agreed with God that they were wrong and they confessed. They cried out to Him for deliverance. And what does the history tell us as we study that and read through the Old Testament? We find out that remnants of God's people returned to the homeland, and rebuilding projects were carried out, and the worship of God was begun again. God's wrath and judgment were the constant themes of the Old Testament prophets. They frequently warned of the coming day of the Lord. Now, whether that was an imminent historical judgment that was coming upon those people then, or the final eschatological day of the Lord that Revelation speaks of. And all the historical day of the Lord judgments were what? Well, what we know now that we've been thus far through the book of Revelation, all those historical day of the Lord judgments on God's people back then were simply previews of the last and most terrible day of the Lord that we find coming to fruition in the book of Revelation. The historical outpourings of God's wrath, kind of take you just a little hitting the high point history of the wrath being poured out, but the historical outpourings of God's wrath fall into several categories as we seek to have an appropriate review of God's wrath introducing chapter 15 to you tonight. Number one, first is the sowing and reaping wrath. The sowing and reaping wrath. People sin and suffer the logical consequences of that sin. If they don't stop the sin, if they don't confess the sin, if they don't repent of the sin, if they just continue in the sin. Everybody get that? Making sense? Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Second, we're talking about the historical outpourings of God's wrath and how they fall into several categories. Secondly tonight, is the devastating wrath when God sends massive destructive judgment. That judgment may engulf the entire world like it did when we just mentioned the flood, Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. Or God's devastating, massive, destructive judgment may affect a smaller region as when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 through 29. Third is the wrath of abandonment turning one over to a sinful and rebellious life. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 and 20 through 28. Kind of a big, chunky scripture. Let me get a little sip here. Romans 1, 24 through 28. The Word of God reads this, if you're still with me online. Romans 1, 24 through 28. The Word of God reads, "Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over," the Word of God says, "to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper." So this passage in Romans demonstrates God's judicial abandonment of sinners, removing restraint. He removes a kind of wrath. He removes restraint to the deadly consequences of their sinful choices. Another example is found in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, where it says, "Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, is joined to idols. Let him alone." That's what he's going to do. Not going to repent from that. Not going to come around, not going to get straight from that. Leave him alone. Let him alone. Hosea 4:17. Fourth is an eschatological wrath, a last day wrath, poured out in the future on the whole world, or again parts of the world, as signs that point to the second coming of the Lord. And that's what we're dealing with here, is eschatological wrath. And fifth is eternal wrath, the most devastating wrath of all. Because the ultimate result of eternal wrath will be the sentencing of all unrepentant sinners to a place called hell, a real place, for a time that never ends, forever and ever. So as we seek to introduce this, we'll end with this kind of last subpoint as we're talking about an appropriate review of God's wrath. We've looked at some historical outpourings of God's wrath and how they fall into several categories, but we'll end with this tonight as we seek to introduce chapter 15 to you tonight. When we think about God's wrath, a remarkable paradox exists. And this is the beauty of the Word of God, I guess, and this is some of the beauty of the person of God that we are revealed to through the Word of God. What might be the paradox you're talking about? Well, throughout the entire historical outpouring of God's wrath, even in the book of Revelation, from Eden to the final devastation of His eschatological last day wrath, the day of the Lord wrath, a strange paradox exists. Now, we find it strange. I don't think it's strange to God, but it's hard for us to reconcile the two ends. But the paradox is God, while He pours out the wrath, God is busily working to save sinners from His own wrath. It's just amazing. It's hard to grasp it, but it's what the Bible says. And there's a beauty to the paradox, even though I don't quite understand everything with it. God's nature encompasses not only righteousness and holiness, which demands that He judge sin, but also grace and mercy. Even during the devastating judgments of the tribulation, God will call sinners to salvation. And you know this. This will be a review for you. How does the Godhead, how does God the Father accomplish this? Well, the sufficiency of Scripture, coupled with the power of the gospel to save, as people share with others the good news of Jesus Christ, even during the time of the tribulation. We've mentioned these things. I'll mention them to you one more time. God will use the 144,000 Jewish evangelists spoken of in Revelation 7 and Revelation chapter 14. God will use the two witnesses spoken of in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 13, Moses and Elijah, one representing the law, the other representing the prophets. My take on it could be two other people, but most conservative theologians believe that's going to be Moses and Elijah. God will use a host of redeemed Gentiles and Jews that are saved by these two witnesses and these 144,000 Jewish evangelists. God will even use, as we have taught on and Bible studied about, an angel flying in the sky 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Revelation 14, 6 through 7, as the earth rotates under this angel, he is sharing the gospel news and the gospel message. As the outpouring of divine wrath escalates, God's evangelistic efforts will escalate as well. Now, the result of his evangelistic thrust to save sinners from his wrath will be the greatest. It will be literally the greatest harvest of souls in human history. Though the majority of the inhabitants of the earth will still reject the gospel. On one hand, it's going to be the biggest revival, the biggest amount of people that have come to Christ at any one time. But on the other hand, it won't be the majority of people that are left here on the earth after the rapture of the church. A redeemed Israel and souls saved souls from all the nations will survive the tribulation and will enter the thousand-year millennial kingdom. So chapter 15, which we're going to get into verse by verse starting on Sunday night, presents the specific circumstances that lead to the final outpouring of God's wrath in chapter 16 before Jesus Christ returns. So think of chapter 15 as we close it out here tonight. Think of chapter 15 as an introduction to the bowl judgments of chapter 16. And so what I've tried to do for you tonight is give you an introduction of the introduction. Amen? Any questions? All right. Those of you watching with us online, thank you for being here tonight. We'll pick it up from there. Sunday p.m. at the Lord tarries, and we'll get back into the Bible study of it. Amen? Let's have a closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're saved, and thank you, Lord, that we're heaven bound. We do appreciate, Lord, and worship you for the great paradox that we find in your word, that as you are holy and righteous and just to punish sin, and to punish sinners, you are also merciful and gracious, and you seek to save them that are lost, so that those that are in sin can confess their sin and receive your gospel message and avoid the penalty of sin. And so, Lord, what an amazing God you are, and what a thankful people we should be, and Lord, what a time of rejoicing we have to look forward to as we spend an eternity with you, as we get to realize the relationship that we have with you now, as we get to realize it and experience it with all of our senses, with all of our bodies, with all of our soul, with all of our spirit. We're looking forward to that one day. We praise you for that. Lord, be with those that don't know you, and Lord, be with us that do know you, that Lord, you might bring us together so that we might share the truth and show that other beggar where the bread is, the bread of life, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one and only way to you. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for this word that tells us about him. We praise you tonight, Lord. Give us safety as we depart here. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, you folks are dismissed tonight. Thank you all for being here. As always, those of you online, we'll see you next time.